All right. Well, as Christopher prayed, he said, 1 month left of school. Obviously, some people are counting down. They're just ready to get away from us, teachers, and all of this, and just go do what you want to do. Isn't that fun, just to go do what you want to do and not have to do what you're supposed to do? I don't know. So, we're going to turn to Luke chapter number 9. I didn't say he was saying that. Luke chapter number 9, we're actually going to talk about that today. Today, the title of the message is simply this: The Pros and Cons of Discipleship. The pros and cons of discipleship. I already saw one puzzled look like. Are there cons to discipleship? Absolutely. Well, then let's not do it, right? Let's just read the scripture here, Luke chapter number 9, verses 23 through 25. And he, let's talk about Jesus, said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" So there's some good questions here, and we'll consider this. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time together, and we ask that you will bless your word. Take these simple thoughts, this familiar passage, and give us some insight. Help us, Lord, to just make sure that we're counting the cost, and pray that we'll make the right decision. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So when you make a big decision, right, don't you sometimes at least make a list? Whether you do physically or at least mentally, and you list the pros and the cons. Like, here I've got two job opportunities. This one is close to home. This one pays a lot of money. This one, you know, and you list the pros, but then I get really crummy people to work with. I don't like the job and all of this. So you're making the list of pros and cons. You do that for each of those jobs, and you look at them both, and hopefully you're spiritual, and you pray, too, and say, "Lord, which one should I take?" But we often gather the facts, right, and say, before I make this big decision, I want to consider everything and see if this is really worth it. And hopefully you do something like that when you're getting ready to date someone and marry them, right? You know, here's the pros and cons of this. And I don't think that, okay, yeah, maybe, okay, she's pretty, but she doesn't read her Bible, she doesn't care about church, she doesn't care about this, she's not saved, she's all this. It's like, well, maybe those list of cons should outweigh the one fact that she's pretty, which will probably change in some time anyway, right? So, we won't go there. but when you make a big decision, you make those lists of pros and cons to weigh your best option. A lot of people treat discipleship the same way. Well, we count the cost, right? And when we count the cost, some people are just not willing to pay the price. You say, well, if I'm a disciple, it's going to cost me this, this, and this, and this. And what do I get out of it? Right? Sometimes we'll serve God as long as we get something out of it, as long as there's a blessing in it for me. And when it doesn't go so well, it's like, why would I want to do that? I'm going to have to give up all these things, and I really like these things. And if I give up all these things, then I'm at a loss, and I'm not really willing to pay that price. Now, I don't know if anybody actually writes down a list of pros and cons of discipleship and says, I'm just not willing to pay that price. This is just too steep of a price. But whether they write it down or not, there is a mental categorizing that goes on at times. You say, well, I got to give up this, I got to do this, and this has to happen, and that's just too steep, and I don't want to do that. I'd rather do my own thing over here, and so I'm just going to do that. And so the whole notion of pros and cons of discipleship seems kind of far-fetched, because if Jesus would tell us to do something, how could there be any cons to it? How could there be anything negative to it, right? But there are cons to it, and the cons only come when we're carnal. The negatives are only seen by carnal people and when we're acting that way. So if you look at the idea of discipleship and the Christian life and all you can see are the disadvantages, then you are not walking in the Spirit at all. It's a pretty bad sign where you are spiritually. So I want to consider three requirements that Jesus gives to us for discipleship. And then consider if each of those ones is a pro or a con. So here we are in Matthew 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, he gives us three of these requirements for discipleship. If any man will come after me, that's the first, let him deny himself. That's the first one. So the first requirement is denial. And take up his cross daily, that's death. And follow me, that's dedication. Wow, that already seems like a tall order right there. So let's tackle these one by one. First one is denial. Let him deny himself. The word deny means to disown. Just totally abandon, leave. You know, sometimes we hear of with people in other countries where they get saved and sometimes it's Roman Catholicism, right? And Roman Catholicism is such a staunch stronghold. And when people get saved, they actually, some people actually go and have, hold burials, funerals, not burials, but funeral services for their the person who got saved. And said, no, he's dead. He's dead. We don't know him anymore. And if he actually shows up to try to talk to them, they don't even acknowledge that he's there because in their mind, he's dead. They've had that funeral service for him. And so denial, that's the idea of disown. They totally disown him. Now, that would be terrible if you're on the receiving end as a Christian, right? I'm doing what's right. Like, I just got disowned. But that's how we have to treat our life, our own life. We have to disown this thing. But that goes against human nature. Human nature is to take care and pamper and to really treat this thing pretty well, but we have to abandon our own will. So to be a disciple, we can't seek our own way. Now, honestly, that seems like a con right there. That seems like a negative. I can't have my own way. Seems like a negative. However, what happens when we follow our own way? Oh, this other little passages of scripture that come to mind. How about Proverbs 14:12? There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh. So if I go my own way, it's not going to end well. No. So is that really a con after all, that I would deny myself so I could find God's way and get God's blessing? It's not a con after all, is it? It's actually a pro. And so the carnal man sees it as a negative. The spiritual man follows it by faith and says, okay, well, God's in control, and maybe denying self isn't so bad after all, right? When the Moravian missionaries went to evangelize the people in the West Indies, it was almost impossible for them to reach them. They found that the people there were enslaved, and they would get up at early in the morning and go straight into the fields and labor. They would labor all day until dark. They would come home, have a meager meal, be totally exhausted, lay down, and go to sleep until they had to get up and go through the same thing the next day. And so the missionaries were wondering, how we came here to reach these people, how are we going to give them the gospel? We can't even meet with them. And so after much prayer and consideration, they voluntarily became slaves so that throughout the day, they could work alongside, side by side, with the people they were trying to reach. And as they worked with them, they would share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, and people were saved because of that. That is self-denial. We're all about demanding our rights, not giving up our rights. you know, I've got my rights. Yeah, I do. You know, Paul had his rights. And it's funny, sometimes you could see him in the scriptures claiming them. Remember, he said, hey, you know, is it lawful for you to do this to a Roman citizen? They're like, oh, we bound you and put you in jail. We're in trouble. So there were times where he would claim that, but there are other times he didn't. He didn't do that when he was put in the Philippian jail. They beat him silly, locked him up, and he's in there singing praises. He could have spared himself that. You say, why didn't he do it that time? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say why he didn't do it. I've got an assumption that he knew that God wanted him there, and he wasn't going to claim his rights. Amen. No will of your own? I think if you went and asked Paul, if you get to heaven, hopefully you're saved and you get there, right? You get to heaven, you ask Paul, say, do you think it was worth it going through that beating so that that Philippian jailer could get saved and his family could get saved and help contribute to the embryo of a New Testament local church? And then the fact that, you know, obviously was thriving, and then you wrote a letter to them, and we have the book of Philippians because you went through some of those things. Do you ask him, do you think if that was worth it? Sure it was. Self-denial is not easy, but it's worth it. And when we look at it as a con, as a negative, we miss all the blessings that God has planned to give us. It's only the carnal part, the fleshly part, the selfish part of me, which is quite a bit of me, that wants to do my own thing, that doesn't want to trust God. Our flesh says, but I want to, and then you can fill in the gap. And sometimes we just need to respond by saying, but God wants me to do that. And that's what I'm going to do. Back in 1998, that was before you guys, most of you guys, were around. Most. We just, you know, God was saying, okay, it's time. I was working on staff here. I was teaching in the college. I was the principal back then. And the guy just said, it's time for you to move on. I was like, okay, everything's kind of easy here. I mean, I got my friends here. I got the ministry, you know, as everything's kind of settling in. And I said, all right. Well, so I start praying. All right, I believe he wanted me to pastor church. Around that time, a couple different churches opened up. There was one in a small city. It wasn't a big city, but it was a small city, and it was a thriving area. It was a decent-sized church, lots of opportunities. I was just looking at that, thinking, wow, that could possibly be a great opportunity. And there is another one, like in the middle of nowhere. And literally, when you drove into town, the population sign said 22. In the middle of nowhere. Pastor Mitchell was there. Came to visit on Ensemble. So now you know which one I ended up going to. But I'm telling you, when I'm looking at it on paper, I was like, I don't want to go out there. There's like nothing that pulls me out there. But that's where God wanted us to go. And I could look in hindsight and see why God led us out there, and it was exactly what we needed at the time. And so God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? He really does. And it was funny, I was made a comment to my wife, because here we had a very large bus route in Gary. So we're working with inner city black folk. Now we're going to go out and work with country white folk out in the middle of nowhere. And I'm telling my wife, this doesn't make sense. I said, unless God's preparing us to work with country black folk. And sure enough, guess where we were a few years later? In the rural areas of Zambia, Africa, We were 2 hours or a little more than 2 hours away from the capital city where you could go and you get all the main things. We were about an hour from a grocery store. Guess what it was like when we were in the middle of Nebraska in the sand hills? 2 hours to a big major town to do our major shopping and 1 hour to the closest grocery store. It's like everything was just in preparation. I had no idea what God was doing, but God knew what he was doing. I thought, well, this would be a little bit better opportunity over here. But God didn't want me over there. He had another plan involved. And so you just have to learn to set your will aside. And it's not easy because part of you is saying, but I would rather. But it doesn't matter what you want to do. That's part of being a disciple. And it's just trusting God that he knows what is best. Denying self also spares us a lot of griefs, right? Talk to people in jail who refuse to say no to their selfish desires. They refuse to say, no, I'm not going to steal that. They refuse to say, no, I'm not going to lose my temper and shoot that person. Go talk to the young lady who has a child out of wedlock, and now she's left to raise this child without a father, hoping maybe to meet another guy, and when the other guy sees this child, says, that ain't mine, I don't want that. So, well, you know, yeah. Too many people in this world live with regrets, wishing they had told themselves no. Now, as a Christian, some of those things you won't know until you just tell yourself no and follow the Lord. I still wonder, what would have happened if I ended up in that other town, that larger town with more opportunities? What would have happened? How long would I have been there? I don't know. So the first requirement of discipleship is denial. Is it a con or is it a pro? Yes, it's both. It's a con to the carnal guy, but it's a pro to those who want to serve God. Let me give you the second one, and we already discussed it here. Death. Ooh, now that obviously is a... there's no way that can be a pro, right? That is total con. You can't get around the fact that when you're dead, and there's nothing good that comes out of death, right? Wrong, because there is something good that comes out of death in the Christian life. See, Jesus said, take up his cross. In his day, everybody understood what he meant when he told them to take up their cross, because the Roman soldiers often made people carry their own cross to their crucifixion. And so if you saw a man carrying a cross, you knew he's going to go die. The whole purpose of the cross was pain, suffering, and death. And so when Jesus spoke of taking up his cross, he spoke of death, and everybody that in his audience that heard him speak that knew what he was talking about. And most people, I would think most of us, spend a lot of time taking care of our bodies, don't we? All right, we get a cold and we, you know, take cold medicine. We get a headache, we take headache medicine. And for the natural people, they take herbs. Or they do their essential oils and, you know, who and other people do all sorts of voodoo and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying everybody does something, right? Well, most of us want to live as long as we can. Well, what's the alternative for a Christian? Dying and going to heaven. That's not a bad alternative, right? Anyway, but death is something that we really work at avoiding. And so this certainly seems more like a con than a pro. However, look with me in verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall what? Lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. So death does bring something good to the Christian. In the Christian life, death brings life. And so what you might say is, no, I don't want to die to myself. I don't want to go through the pain of giving this sin up or this opportunity up and giving up my own wills and my own desire. I don't want to die, and I don't want to go through that pain and suffering. I don't want to hold on to what's dear to me. And God said, that's going to bring death anyway. Why don't you just let it go and let it die so that you can actually have the life that I have planned for you? It's so much better. But the carnal heart sits back there and says, yeah, right. All this Bible stuff, yeah, right. Yeah, right. And we'll all figure that out when we get down the road a few years, won't we? That the Bible is true. And it does work. All we got to do is work it. It's only when you learn to die to self that you actually begin to live. And so hanging on to our plans, our desires, our wishes only leads to a loss of life and an empty life. And the ones who let go are the ones who are blessed of God. James Calvert was a missionary to the cannibals of Fiji many, many years ago. Think of cannibals. They eat people. Let me go there and be available for their next barbecue. Right? And so they're sailing there, and the captain of the ship did his best to discourage him from going. And he said, you will risk your life and the life of all of those who are with you if you go in and you work among those savages. And they were savages. And Calvert replied this. He said, we died before we came here. He'd already died to self. They had already made that decision. I am dead to myself. This is what God wants us to do. It doesn't matter what happens to us. We're just going to serve the Lord. And so death brings life and opportunity. And we must not only deny self, we must die to self. Paul said in Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Crucify, put to death. That's our job. That's our duty. It's not just to let someone else crucify us. We have to do the crucifying. We have to put it to death. Those desires, those passions. When your body says, look at that, or think that, or say that, or listen to that, you have to say, no, I am going to die. I'm going to kill that desire. Why? Before it kills me. And there's no shortage of illustrations where we could look at where we see the death, sin brings death. So this has to be done every day. He says, take up his cross, how often? Daily. Every day? Every day. It'd be nice if you could, you know, just get past this, you know, one time. you know, those big dreaded decisions in life. I only have to make that one time. Let me just make it and get it out of the way. Well, this one you got to make every day. Every day you got to pick that cross up and hit the same road again. That desires, those plans, those ambitions. And get this notion out of your mind that the Christian life is easy and it's going to be a cakewalk. It's not. But we can say one thing, that the Lord's with us to help us. And when we make those decisions, he'll empower us, he'll strengthen us, he'll guide us, and he'll bless us for making those decisions. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10 says this, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now, I want Jesus to live in me. I want his power to flow through me. I want to see all sorts of good things happen through me. I want to see God working, but that's only going to happen when I die. So you want the good stuff, you got to go through the bad stuff. But the bad stuff's not really so bad after all, because it brings the good stuff. Amen. So what we look at as a con, I got to die to myself, I got to pick up the cross daily, is really not a con, it's a pro. Because death brings life. And Jesus came to give us life more abundantly. Look at the people. Look at the people who spend all their time trying to make themselves happy. Look at the people who say, I'm done with this Christianity stuff, or I'm going to go and take this other form of Christianity, which is like not Christianity. And I'm going to go live and please myself and have a good time. On social media, they're smiling. But look at their lives. They are a mess. They're not happy. They're miserable people. If they're really saved, they're miserable people. They're not happy. They're not enjoying life. They found their life, but they lost it. You can have what you want, but you're going to lose what you have. So we never really truly start to live until we first die. I told you there was three things. There was denial. Sounds like a con. Death. Sounds like a negative. And how about this one? Third one is dedication. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So many Christians will follow God as long as he's going in their direction. Right? You know, it's easy for me to follow God sometimes, as long as I agree with it. And you know, sometimes you'll be sitting in a sermon, you could amen some things, but then there's that other little point that comes up that you don't like. All of a sudden the amens stop. It's more like, oh me. You know, there's some rules, there's some, you know, standards that you have no problem with. And you're fine with those. You might even take pride in the fact you keep those. But there's some that you just do not like and you struggle with and you don't, I mean, it's just, yeah. Follow me. So if I'm following him, I'm not going my direction. We have to leave our own path. Well, can I just say this right away? That if you're on the path with Jesus, that's a pretty safe place to be. Because you've got his presence, you've got fellowship, and you've got all that. So how on earth can that be a con? How could that be a negative? That if I'm on the path following Jesus, I'm with him, everything should be okay. Right? It's going to work out in the end. But if we're going to be on the path following him, we've got to leave some other things behind. Sometimes we have to leave some people behind. The people who are trying to pull us off the path. We face decisions. God wants me to go this way. This is the way he goes. This is the way he wants me to follow him. But then there's other people who would want me to go their way. No, you can follow God, but just come with us right now. What do you mean right now? No man can serve two masters. Either we're following him or we're not. You're on the path with Jesus or you're on another path taking you away from him. And so the Bible says here in Luke 14, verse 26, it says, if any man come to me, Jesus was talking, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea. Now some of you are saying, I could hate my brother and sister real easy. Yea, and his own life also. Oh, that was a little harder. In his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. There's some things you have to leave behind. It's not that you despise and hate them, but your love for Christ is so much more, there's so much more loyalty to him that when you look at your loyalty to him than to family and friends, it seems like hatred. Who are you going to follow, others or the Lord? Again, it sounds a lot more like a con, a negative, than a pro, than an advantage. How we're following him puts us on a better path with better rewards. We also read in the Gospels in Matthew 19, 29, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my namesake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. So in other words, you say, but if I follow them, I got to give up all this. Maybe. But when you do, you gain so much the more. He says, an hundredfold. I'll just leave that to God's math to figure out what he's talking about there. That if I give up a certain amount, he's going to more than make up for it in other ways. And on top of that, I'm going to have some eternal rewards, which are going to last a whole lot longer than the thing that I wanted to hang on to here anyway. So how can being dedicated to Christ be a disadvantage? How can it be seen as a negative when we gain eternal and temporal rewards for following him? But you got to give up your own way. A preacher read an account. He was telling a story, or an account actually, of a faithful layman who lived in Ecuador, and he was down there in Ecuador, and this man felt called to the ministry. However, this man's wife, she was going to have nothing to do with going in the ministry. He had a good job, and she basically threatened him and said, if you quit that job and go in the ministry, I'm telling you what's going to happen. Well, one day, with a heavy heart and tears in his eyes, this man came to the preacher, and he had a bundle in his arm. And obviously, the preacher could see this, that this man was in great distress, and he said, what's in the bundle? He said, those are my work clothes. I resigned my employment. He decided to follow Jesus. You say, what happened to his wife? God took care of that. His faith inspired and challenged his wife that she eventually got behind his decision, and they went on to become faithful servants of the Lord. Why? He was facing something. I am going to follow Jesus or follow my wife.
Right. Yes, sir. Yep.
My wife's desires. Now I'm thankful that I have a wife that when I've come and said, this is what I think God wants me to do, has said, that's what we'll do. I cannot tell you how much I rejoice over that. Sometimes I'm like, are you sure? Can you just like not just kind of like pull back a little bit and, you know, say, but you know, what about this and this and this? You know, just, if that's what God wants, it's like, okay. She's more than happy to let me make the decision. So if it all falls to pieces, it's on me, right? Not on her. But here's a man who actually had to follow what Jesus said and was willing to follow him and go against his wife's wishes. He made the right decision. God took care of things. I mean, we read of William Carey too. He was ready to go to the mission field, and his wife's like, I ain't going. And he was like, I'm going without you. And in the end, it all worked out, and guess where she went? She went with him, didn't she? And so it's easy to look in hindsight and say, yeah, well, that's great. But when you're right in the middle of the battle and you have to make some choices, am I going to follow my way and those that I love, or am I going to follow Christ? That's hard. That's very difficult. Maybe you have some people pulling on you. Well, you have a decision to make. But I'll tell you this, when you follow Christ, you will never regret it. You know, have you ever heard of someone on their deathbed saying, oh, I wish I had never gotten saved. I wish I had never followed the Lord. Those, oh, Never heard of it. And so often we think we're going to lose when we follow God, but oh, no, 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 no. Let me tell you this, what Paul said. For me to live is Christ, and to die, you know, is gain. For me to die is gain. So we have to take what the Bible says by faith and say, okay, that's what God says. Is discipleship really a negative after all? It looks like it on the surface. But oh no, it's only an advantage. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.